Okay, we just barely started the next segment. Let's just recap where we left off. The Gemara had finally succeeded in finding a case where toldos are not quite the same as avos. We tried very, very hard to find toldos, a veishin, a bor, and a shein. Each one we failed. I mean, we failed in our goal, but hopefully we succeeded in our mission in terms of understanding a lot about each one of those toldos. But we still hadn't identified a toldo that's not like an av. And finally, the Gemara said there actually is one, and that is an animal that damages derech tzroros. Tzroros literally meaning pebbles, but just an example, an illustration of the idea of an animal damaging the koach rather through the gufa, a behemoth. So if an animal tramples and steps on something, that's called regel mamish. If an animal steps on a stone and the pebble shoots up and breaks something else, that's called derech tzroros. And tzroros, the halacha is that you only pay chatzi nezek. So you only pay chatzi nezek. Unlike regel, we pay nezek shalem. That is an example of a toldo that it's not like an av. So the question is, where did this come from? What's the source for this idea that regel only pays chatzi nezek? So the Gemara actually quotes a machlokes Tanaim about it in the second of the sources. But finally, the Gemara says, both in the first pekel of Avakam and the second pekel of Avakam, if you take a look at the very end of the second source, so the second line from the bottom of the end of the line, Hada Marava, Lolam Kagufo Dami, that even though theoretically Kocho should have been Kagufo Dami, that the fact that you only pay Chatzi Nezek is a unique category called Huchza Gemiri La. So what do those words mean, Huchza Gemiri La? So we mentioned at the end of the show last week that Rashi says that means Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So according to Rashi, we're dealing with an official formal Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, not all that different than the fact that tefillin has to be black is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and 10 tefachim of a wall of a sukkah has to be Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. All the details, all the halachas, shiurin, chatzitzin, mechitzas, chashchita, chastvillin, all of the above are all just pure tershubah peh. So too, according to Rashi, this detail, Nuchas Nezikin, that Tzroros only pays Chatzin Ezek, is Allah HaMoshe Mesir. Nevertheless, we have reason to believe that there are other Rishonim, primarily the Rambam, who may have a little bit of a different understanding as to what that phrase, Nuchas Gemir Lo, is all about. It is not just an academic machlokes as to whether this is a pure Torah Halach Mashinah, whether it's based on something else. This is going to have some very real impacts to mice in terms of how to understand some of the details of this halacha. So, as we say very often, in order to understand the parameters of something, you very often have to understand the source of something. So if the source is Halach Moshe Mesinah, it's going to take on a certain light. If the source is perhaps something different, then it's going to take on an entirely different light. So let's analyze a couple of Rambams together. And I don't know whether we're going to say the word Tzroos anymore today. We just have to learn the Rambam and learn three Rambams in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim and begin to paint a picture for ourselves why the Rambam may very well have a different understanding of what Tzroos is all about, and again, to understand what that other possibility is and then how that plays out in terms of practically speaking. So let's learn a little bit of some very, very important Rambams. Really, Yesodos Emunah Rambams. The third of the Marmikomos, it's the Ramanuchas Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halachas Aleph through Gimel. It's very apropos for Chanukah, because Chanukah is very much like they speak about, you know, it's the Koch of the Chachabim, it's the Mitzvah of Los Osor, it doesn't appear in the Tanakh anymore. So this is really the sugi of the authority of Torah Shabbat Peh. Once we understand a little bit about this, then we'll come back to the Tzroros angle. So comes the Ramanuchas Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph. Bezin Agodosh of Yerushalayim, Hem Ika Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Ram sets the record straight that the role of the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, that is the essence of Torah Shabbat Peh. V'heim Amudei Ha'ora, they are literally the pillars of Paskening Shailas. V'mehem Chayku Mishpat Yotze L'chol Yisrael, they are the source for all of Psak Halacha. V'alein Eftichat Torah, and that is exactly what the Torah meant. The Torah promises us, Shemar, Apia Torah She'arucha Azum Mitzvah Zaseh. The Torah supports them, the Torah relies upon them in a sense, by telling us in Pasha Shoftim, Apia Torah She'arucha, there is a positive mitzvah to listen to everything that the Chachmei HaTorah from the Beis HaMikdash say. V'chol, and Ram comes up with a very, very strong statement in Hashkafa. V'chol amamin b'Moshe Rabbeinu uv'sarasu. Anybody who believes in Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah, chayev lismoch ma'isa adas aleihen, would be obligated to rely for Maisei Hadas, issues related to religion, on them, and to support that, to be supported by them, to rely on them, etc. So in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam just said it straight, that they are the ultimate word. That's the bottom line authority, the authority of the Beis of Godosh Yerushalayim. Now in Halacha Beis, the Rambam elaborates upon what that authority entails. Komi she'ena osak ora alson. Anybody who doesn't follow in the directions of the Beis HaGadol, overblow sasei. So first of all, this is an outright prohibition min haTorah she'nemar. Lo sasim kol adavah she'gid luchay minu smol. The Torah says explicitly, don't deviate from whatever the Beis tells you, to the right, not to the left. Ve'ein mokin alav zeh. So the Rambam just elaborates the fact that, by the way, you're not chayav malchus for this lav. Now, just because a person is not chayav malchus for any given lav doesn't necessarily mean the lav is of a lower stature. Sometimes the opposite is true. Sometimes a person is not chayav malchus for a particular lav because the lav is on a higher level. For example, over here, in local lav zeh, b'reisha nitan lazaros mizus beizdin, because sometimes the violation of this prohibition can carry with it a punishment of death. Now, most of the time, not. Let's say Beis Din makes a takana, you have to light Neres Chanukah. So the Beis Din Rishalayim, the Beis Din of the Chashmonaim, they got together, they decided everyone's going to light Neres Chanukah. So if a fellow doesn't light Neres Chanukah, so that would be a violation, at least according to the Rambam, you're deviating from the directions of the Beis Din HaGadol. It doesn't mean that if you didn't light Neres Chanukah, you chayav misa. Not every deviation, not every violation of Lo Sasser is a chayav misa. The only time a violation of Lo Sasser carries with it the death penalty, if a person is what we call a zaken mamre, means the Beis Din gives a certain psak, and the person says, no, I refuse to succumb to the authority of the Beis Din, and the person himself is a royal kach to be on the Beis Din, means he himself could be passing shalas. If Stam, a regular guy in the street, says, I don't think the rabbis are right. They told us that there was Chanukah. Nah, I don't think that's a good idea. So that's not a chi of misas Beis Din. That's just a bitl mitzvah of Lasos, that's a bitl mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. But if you have the Beis Din HaGadol Institutes, we're going to say Neres Chanukah, and then if another guy says that, no, wait a second, not so simple, not so pashut, so he wants to disagree, and they own the dominion, and he refuses to back out, and he keeps on telling everybody, listen to me, don't listen to them. So that may be the passion of Lasos. Now, that may be the passion of Zochen Mamre, then he may be Chamis. Now, I gave the example of Neres Chanukah is a shaky one because it's only the Rabbanon, and we're not learning the sugya right now of Zochen Mamre. But suffice it to say that the issue of losasa sometimes carries with it a very, very severe punishment, and therefore any violation, even to a less extent, doesn't carry with it malchus. That's a rule in terms of hilchus malchus, that once a lav is a potential misa-oriented lav, so it's exempted from malchus. But again, that doesn't indicate that the lav is of any lesser significance. So the Ram continues. Shekol chacham shemor al divrei misas bechenek shenam ba'ish sheyase bezadon. Now the Ram continues. What authority do they have when they tell us to do what? So the Rambam delineates several different categories that the Chum have the utmost authority in. Echad devarim shalom do asam repi hashmua v'heim tershim al peh. So first of all, the Ram says, if the Beis Din HaGadol tells you that we learned repi hashmua, namely we heard from our Rebbe and we heard from the last generation such and such halachas to be true, things that are not written in the Chumash, so they're tershim al peh. Let's say, for example, the Beis Din tells you, we heard our Rebbeim taught us the halachas of Dofen Akuma. When you build a sukkah, so you can have some schach puzzle against the side of the sukkah, that's okay. Or the Beis Din HaGadol tells you that we learned from our Rebbeim that tefillin have to be square. And you have a guy sitting there and saying, you know what, I don't think so. I don't think there's such a halacha, and I think tefillin should be triangular. He's got different versions of what the halacha should be. So that's the first type of category of halacha that is included in the Isser of Lo Sasser. So you have to listen to the Chachamim when they are the transmitters of the Tershim HaPeh. So that's category number one. V'yechad Dvarim, and category number two, V'yechad Dvarim, Shalomdum Mipi Daitam, V'yachas Bin Amidah, Shetan Adrashas Bahen, V'nir Beinem, Shadava Zekachu. The second category is that the Beis Din says, we do not have a specific tradition that tefillin are black, or tefillin are square, or shechita is in this part of the net. We're not talking about the kind of shayla. We have an interesting shayla that's just come up, and we've tried to apply the principle of kal v'chomer, how to pass through the shayla. One of the midas, how to derive dinim, is through kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer is in the binyanavs, and shnei ksuvim, a million different midas. We only say 13 of them, because as it is, people are late for davening. So we'd say, well, 32, and all 59, and all 150, we never get the daven shachris. So we say the most famous ones are the 13 main categories ones, but there are more than those. So comes the Rambam and says that a new shayla comes up, and Beizin is trying to decide how do we answer the shayla, how do we pass the shayla. So the Rambam writes, well, we apply the rules of the Yud Gimel Midas that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the extended Midas that were presented to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we use them to try to figure out what the halacha is. So the Rambam is differentiating, that's not called Mipi HaShmua. Mipi HaShmua meant something that the only way we know it to be true is Ish Mipi Yishad Moshe Rabbeinu. We have a clear-cut tradition, it's a complete oral tradition. The second category are the dinim that are learned out from the Midah Shetan Yudrashus Behem. So the Beis and Agadol has sole authority in that area as well. So once Chazal come to a conclusion, they have Machlekes. So one Tana says this, one Tana says this, and they're fighting it out. Right? Once the Beis and is Amdul Aminyan, once they decide that this and this is the Halacha, if a person decides they want to do otherwise, that's a violation of Lo Sasor. And the third category is Ve'echa Dvarim She'asom Siyag LaTorah, that other areas of Halacha, which we call the Rabbanans, things that were instituted to protect the Dinei Torah, things that are needed for temporary measures, things that are all under the general heading, what we call the Rabbanans. So the Rambam is very clear that there are three different categories of authority that's given to the Beis and Agadol. One is Dvar Pi HaShmua, just simply to relate pre-existing traditions. Number two is to apply Torah principles to paskin in a sense new shaylas, and number three up to in a sense make up new dinim in the realm of the rabbanans. And each one of these categories, one is required to listen to the chachamim on. And anyone who violates any of them is in violation of lo sasei. Then the Rambam goes on to show you how he knows all this to be true. Harei oimer al pi haTorah sheyarucha. The first part of the pasuk is referring to the rabbanans. That refers to the category of deriving halachas from based on drashas. The third part refers to the Mipi HaShmua, the pure halacha Mishnah, Toshua, etc. So now that the Rambam has told us that there is a mitzvah in the Torah to listen to the Chachamim in all of the above, now the Rambam goes on to show you that there are differences between these three categories. And the most important difference is going to set the stage for our discussion right now is this following statement of the Rambam. So the Rambam Halacha Gimel makes a sweeping statement. Divrei Kabbalah, ein bahen machlokes la'olam. Anything that's a Divrei Kabbalah, namely something that has been received directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, will not be subject to a machlokes. If you find something that Rabbi Akiva says this, and Rabbi Yeshua says this, and Rabbi Meir says this, and says this, so you know for a fact that it's not part of the first category. That is not part of that area of halacha that is ish b'pi ish, b'lishum safek. Says the Rambam, says, when do we find machloksim? We find machloksim in category number two, where you have a new shayla that comes up, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the authority to, in a sense, to not literally to create new halachas, but to derive new halachas, and he gave us the tools and the mechanism how to do that. He taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to use kavachimis, and how to use binyanavs, and how to use shneksu rabbim kiyechod, and all kind of different vavs, and esim, and drushes, and miyuts, and ribuys, etc. All those of the above tools to darshan halachas, based on the pre-existing Toshim Chsav. So those are subject to machlokes. That could be a machlokes. And what do you do when you have machlokes about that? So the Rambam continues, Udvarim shel lemeidim in adin im eskimu alem beizim agadim kumarei eskimu. So if you have a consensus view, everybody agrees, you now have this view, so then great, wonderful, that becomes the halacha. V'im nechlu mehenah, what if you have a machlokes? Hoch nacharav, that's exactly what the Torah said, you have a machlokes, you follow the majority, u'motzir adin achorei rabim, and you follow whatever the majority says. And similarly, v'chein ha-gezeiras v'atakonas v'amin hagas, when it comes to dinim d'rabbanim, imro miktsasun shura ligzo gezeira, o asakit takona, o shenichom menamina gazeh, so you have a shayla comes up, should we make this dinim d'rabbanim or not? So after the next Hanukkah happens, so the Chum is sitting around the base of Mikdash trying to figure out, should we make Hanukkah, should not make Hanukkah? I'm not saying that did or didn't happen, I'm saying in theory. So you take a vote. So 59 people are in favor of instituting Hanukkah, and 12 are saying, no, we're not going to have Hanukkah. So Achram Matas, so you pass it that there is going to be Hanukkah. That's exactly what we have today. We have Dinim D'Rabbanan. that the stomach. There was a machlokes about should we make bishlachim, should we not make bishlachim, should we do it this way, should we do it that way, should we make this detail of muktzah, not this detail of muktzah. So many dinim d'rabbanan that we have that was subject to debate, and then v'ro miktzashin she'ein ro miktzah gzeir zul lo sakatekan zul nosev and nosev and eluk and eluk v'ochel acharub v'mitzirah d'vachar rabim. That's all part of the parish of acharei rab mahatzis. So it's that one statement of the Rambam that's very, very startling. It becomes critical for us. Sugya. The Rambam says that divrei Kabbalah ain't b'machoyis li'olam. That in halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, so one would not find the machloikis. That's why the Rambam would tell you, we don't find any Gemara anywhere in Shas that says, Rabbi Meir, tefillin have to be black. No, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, tefillin have to be green. So never heard of such a thing. Why? Because the Gemara says that tefillin shcharos have, that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. We don't find anywhere that the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Meir, there's a din in a sukkah called Dofin Akuma, and somebody says, no, there's no Dofin Akuma. We don't find these kinds of statements that people, that there's an outright machlaik is about the truth of any given halacha Moshe Mesinai. So if that is the case, and anything the Ram says that sheyesh b'machloikes biyadua, that it's not part of that unbroken chain of Ish Rabbi Shad Moshe Rabbeinu, that poses a very, very serious problem about Tzroros, because Tzroros is very much a machlokes. If you take a look on the second of the Marim Kamos, so the Gemara in Bava Kami Yud Zayin quotes a brice that says Tana Rabbanan, Tana Golden Shema Frichin Mimokom Lemokom. If chickens were flapping the wings and running, you know, jumping around from one place to another, for Shibru Kalim Bekanfeyan, and if their wings themselves broke something, so there was a vase sitting there, and the wing of the chicken itself banged it up, Misham Nezik Shalom, so then you have to pay full damage. That's like regel. Regel doesn't only mean an animal walking. It can mean a bird flapping, if the wing of the bird is like the leg of the animal. So that would be a din minat Torah. You have to pay nezek shalom. That's the mazik of regel. But what a beruach shebekanfein? What if my chicken's running around somebody's property, got loose, running around in your property, and it's flapping its wings, and it's creating a whole windstorm, and the wind now blows something over. So wait a second, it's a whole different story. That's not the goof of my chicken, that's the quote-unquote tzroros of my chicken. That's the force of my chicken. Because remember we said, tzroros doesn't only mean pebbles getting kicked. Tzroros is just simply an illustration of any kind of a force of an animal rather than the gufa animal itself. So the Gemara, the Brice concludes, Barosh HaBekanfeh, Misham and Chatzin Nezek. But Sumcha Soyim and Nezek Shalem. Sumcha says it's not true. Sumcha says that you only pay, I'm sorry, Sumcha says you pay full damages. Why does Sumcha say you pay full damages? So apparently Sumcha denies the principle of Tzoros. And just in case we didn't get the message the first time, the word goes to the second Brice, Tani Idach. Tani Goyen Shoyim, Hatzin Agabi Isa, Agabi Peiris, V'tinful, Nikwa Misham, Nezek Shalem. If my chicken got loose and it's jumping around, and you have a dough sitting on your table in your backyard, you have some fruit sitting on the table in your backyard, my chicken jumps over there and starts doing a dance on top of your fruit and makes your fruit all dirty, or it starts to pick away your fruit, etc. So misham nezek shalom. So I have to pay nezek shalom. Again, that's regel. Regel doesn't only mean animals, it can mean birds as well. But hello offer tzvaros. What if my chicken doesn't literally damage you with its beak itself or with its feet itself, but it jumps around, and by jumping around it kicks up some dirt or pebbles, and that stuff ruins all your food. Then Misham Chatzin Nezek, once again that's the equivalent of Tzoros. Sumcha Sama Nezek Shalom. Nachum Sumcha says Nezek Shalom, you pay full damages. So clearly Sumchus is denying this principle of Tzoros. Now, again, Sumchus was one Tana. Sumchus was a great Tana. He was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says he was a very, 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 very sharp Tana. The Gemara says that he could be give you 50 reasons why Sheretz is Torah. But he can, if you want a Shtikl Torah, you tell me what you want, he'll be able to give you a Shtikl Torah to explain anything. So he was very, very sharp. But at the end of the day, he was only one person. So obviously he was outvoted. Obviously we don't accept his view. We paskin that there is a din of Tzoros. But the question becomes, wait a second, according to the Rambam's model, that when you have a Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, it is impossible for there to be a Machlokes. So then, how could there be machlokes betzraras? If the Gemara says Hilchos Gemira Law and Rashi translated that phrase to mean Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that it was ish b'piyish, an unbroken chain of tradition called tzraras, chatzinezek tzraras, so the Hakat Simchus disagree with that. Simchus should have immediately said that everyone else was right. I never heard the tradition. Okay, you can't disagree. If somebody else claims they have it b'mesor, ish b'piyish, an Moshe Rabbeinu, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, it's inconceivable. Somebody should argue. So from the fact that Simchus is arguing, that throws a serious curveball at our definition of tzraros being a halacha moshe b'sinai. So how would the Rambam learn tzraros? What is pshat? So possibly part of the answer to this is a gemara in the fourth of the Gemara Mekomos, where it's a gemara we're going to hopefully come back to a little bit later. It's going to become very important for us in other contexts as well, where the gemara has almost a strange shaila. The gemara spends an awful lot of time talking about tzumchus. In the beginning of the second parak of Bava Kamma, you would almost think that we pass the halacha like tzumchus. The gemara spends a lot of time on him, but again, he's not accepted the halacha. So one of the shadows the Gemara raises according to Sumchus is as follows. So the fourth of the Rambam comes, Barav Ashi, Koach kocho l'sumchus ke kocho domni olo. What would Sumchus say about the following shadow? That an animal that damages through koach kocho, one of the most kocho mean, there are 3 degrees of damage. There's gufo. Gufo means an animal walking and tramples its foot, smashes onto your tomatoes and ruins them. That's nezek b'gufo. Tzraros, or kocho means animals walking, kicks up some dirt, kicks up some pebbles, and the pebbles smash something. That's called nezek ayidei kocho. Nezek ayidei kocho means as follows. An animal is walking, and it kicks up some pebbles. The pebbles shoot, and they break into a vase, and now the vase smashes, and some of the glass of the vase shoots off, or ricochet, second degree, and goes out and smashes something and destroys something. So if you have to map just how far removed is the animal, what the damage took place, not from the gufa animal, it didn't even take place from the koyach of the animal, it took place from the koyach of the animal kicked the pebble, that broke the vase, that broke something else, that's called koyach. So Rav Ashi has a shayla, what would Sumchus say about that? So what's the shayla? What's the issue? So comes the Gemara to the following shayla. Mi gomri halacha. Did Sumchus also accept that there was some kind of a tradition that force is different? But umukila b'koicho, Sumchus thought that halacha, unlike everybody else who thought that the halacha was said about kocho, he thought, no, we're one step removed. He said he thought that special din was said vis-a-vis kocho, not legabe kocho. So in other words, there's one side that the Gemara is telling us, Sumchus also accepted this unique halacha of tzoros. The machloikis, him and everybody else was, what is the case to plug it into? So according to everybody else, 99.99% of the Tanoim thought that the din of Tzoros was said on case number 2. Not gufo, not kocho, just on kocho proper. And Simcha said no. Kocho is the same as gufo, yichad nezik shalem, but if it's kocho, then we can negotiate. Then the halacha of chatzin nezik may apply. So is that what Simcha held? Olduma, maybe not, says Rav Ashi. Maybe lo gomri halacha klal. Maybe Simcha's mamish denied this thing. He did not accept this entire institution called Tzoros, never heard of it, disagreed with it, thought it was incorrect, and therefore it could be 100 times over Kocho, and it's still going to be Nezik Shalom. So the Gemara concludes, Teiko, we don't know what the din is. Again, it doesn't make much of a difference for us, because we don't pass Nezik Shalom anyway, but put this Gemara on the back burner, because it's going to become very, very important for us a little bit later on in the Sugya. So at this stage, we know that Sumchus disagreed with something. That's clear, because we have 2 brises that he clearly disagreed with something. And we're not sure to what degree he disagreed. We're not sure, did he disagree to in its entirety? It means he wasn't even geire such a din called Tzoros, like Gamre. Never heard of it, never accepted it at all. Or do we say, no, he agreed fundamentally it exists, but he's disagreeing with just where it applies, with some of the nuances, the parameters of it, but he agrees fundamentally to it. Why is this Gemara so critical? So this Gemara is critical for us in analyzing the Shittas of Rambam. So let's go back just for a moment, not literally inside, but just back to the Rambam's view of Halacha Lo Shem Sinai, there's no Machlokes. That was the Rambam's theory in Hilchos Mamrim, that if you find the Machlokes, then you know you're not in the realm of pure Halacha Lo Shem Sinai, you know you're in other realms of Halacha. That statement of the Rambam, that sweeping statement of the Rambam, there's no Machlokes in Halacha Lo Shem Sinai. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that any time you're dealing with Halacha Lo Shem Sinai, everyone has to agree on everything, all the details, it's got to be 100% clear, unanimous view, everything. And if you find any deviation, any question, any machlokes whatsoever, so you're automatically out of halacha marsinah, you must be in a different area of halacha. Well, that's not what the Rambam meant. What the Rambam meant was as follows, that you're not going to have a situation where one Tana is going to get up and say, I have halacha marsinah, and the other one's going to say, no, you don't. And he's going to say, yes, I do, and no, I don't. Yes, you do that. That doesn't exist. Once halacha marsinah has been identified by somebody, that is unanimous. But what you can have is machlokes and machlokes within the details of halacha marsinah. Let's say, for example, everybody agrees that tefillin have to be square. That's one of the halacha marsinah, as the Gemara says. Tefillin have to be square. But there happens to be a three-way machlokes in the Rishonim. It's not only the Gemara, but three machlokes in the Rishonim. What do those words mean? Which part of tefillin has to be square? So some Rishonim say the stitching has to be square. Some Rishonim say the bottom base has to be square. And some Rishonim say the top of the bias has to be square. That's why Lahalach Lamai said today, so on Tosh and I test, no one's going to make tefillin with triangle tops and circular bottoms and square stitching. We want to cover ourselves in all bay. You're already spending $59,000. So we make the bottom base square, and we make the top of the bias square, and we make the stitching. Everything is made square. We just want to make sure we're okay. But would the Rambam have problems philosophically, conceptually with that? That there's a machlokes about halacha v'shem sina? I don't think so. I think the Rambam would say, that's okay. It's not a machlokes, do tefillin have to be square, can tefillin be circle? That's not the machlokes. Everybody agrees they have to be square. Now we're having a machlokes, what was included in that halacha v'shem sina? So then you can think, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's the other thing. We also have other examples where even the Rambam must concede that there are sometimes machlokes related to halacha v'shem sina in the following sense. The Gemara has in a few places that there are some Tanoim who said the source for a particular halacha is halacha Moshe Mesinai, and another Tanoim would respond and say, no, it's not halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's based on Pesukim. Now, what does that mean? At the end of the day, it's derais anyway. Anything that's either in the Teshuv Bichsav or the Teshuv Bapeh is Minat Torah, so it's binding Minat Torah, but you can sometimes have machlokes, what was the source for a particular halacha? For example, the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Nida has a big machlokes for Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about a certain detail of how to calculate days of Nidus and Zavos, etc. So the Gemara has a machlokes everybody agrees to. The bottom line is there was never machlokes about the following halacha XYZ, but Rabbi Akiva thought it's based on Pesukim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said it's based on halacha Moshe Mesinai. So I happen to be a machlokes about halacha Moshe Mesinai. The answer is that's not a machlokes about a din. That's a machlokes about a source. Everybody agrees that the din is X. Everybody agrees that there is a certain basic halacha playing out here. You can have nuances of machloksim. One Tana says it's based on halacha Masina, one Tana says it's based on something else. What you cannot have in halacha is that one Tana says, or 90% of the Tanaim say, this is halacha Masina, and everyone else says, you're wrong, it doesn't exist, and the din is wrong, the din is not true. That model, the Rambam claims, doesn't exist in halacha. So now the question is, this machlokes sumkus in the Rabbanan, what kind of machlokes is this? Is this machlokes sumkus in the Rabbanan a machlokes about the actual existence of tzraras? Or is this a machlokes about the details of tzraras? So that is ultimately Rav Ashi Shaila. Rav Ashi wasn't sure. According to one side of Rav Ashi Shaila, that sumkus denies the whole thing. Hakol, mikol, kol, lock, stock, and barrel. If sumkus denies everything, he never heard a tzraras, not on his radar screen. So then this is a machlokes, it's about the very lifeblood of this din, about the very existence of this halacha. If the other side of Rav Ashi's shayla is correct, that Sumchus agrees fundamentally there's a din of koach, he just thought koach is koach kocho, he redefined what tzraros means, but he accepts the basic principle of tzraros, so then there's no machlokes about the lifeblood, about the very essence of this halacha. It's a machlokes about the details of this halacha. So that's going to make all the difference in the world for us. We want to know, in the eyes of the Rambam, can tzraros be halacha Moshe Mesinai? Does that make any sense? Because after all, the Rambam tells us, can't have machlokes on halacha Moshe Mesinai. So whether or not tzraros can be halacha Moshe Mesinai ultimately depends on what was Sumchus's position. If Sumchus denied it entirely, so then by definition it can't be halacha Moshe Mesinai. If Sumchus accepted it partially and disagreed on the details, then it can still legitimately be halacha Moshe Mesinai. So we're not sure, according to the Rambam, is tzraros really truly halacha Moshe Mesinai or not? Rashi says it was. Rashi says ish b'pishat Moshe Rabbeinu don't ask any kashas, and we have reason to believe, according to the Rambam, perhaps not. But what we don't know is if it's not halacha Moshe Mesinai, so what is it? The Gemara called it hilchos gemila. What do those words mean? If it's not a Teshuv B'Chsav and it's not halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's not the Rabbanan, So what do they mean? What are the words mean? What other cat? What else is left available for us to plug it into? So hopefully tomorrow we'll have to see a little bit of a different nuance according to the Rambam, what Tzoros is all about. So again, it's a din in the Torah, we pass it to Halach, we don't accept Sumchas. Where it comes from is still subject to debate, and where it comes from is going to impact on some of the details as to how the Halach is applied of Tzoros as well. So that's a problem.